leather shoes, he does not make a shechianu because the shoes came about through tsar balei chayim. That's not necessarily correct. The Olam says that, and it's not necessarily correct. There are many poskim that say it's not true. You can't make a bracha when you buy a pair of shoes, a shechianu, even though it's true that the animals indeed, an animal died in order to make you a pair of shoes. So what? So what? That doesn't necessarily mean you can't make a bracha. However,
go to the bathroom, make ashiyatza.
So there is a halacha that you don't say to a person, tisbolu. When a person buys a new garment, we say to them tischatshu. We like to say to the person, oh, tischatshu, it should be renewed. That doesn't really make any sense. I don't remember the exact details, but if you look in the sources, the correct thing to say to a person who purchased a new product is, you should use it so much that it should get all worn out, and you should need to buy another product. So it's a little bit strange, right? It's a little strange bracha. You purchase something new, you should use it well. You should use it so much, you should have such pleasure in using it that it should get all worn out, and then you'll get another object. You'll get a replacement. It's a little bit bizarre, right? The only one that says
the Yiddish expression. You say Yiddish.
So it comes from here. Use it up, right? So this comes from Chazal. That Yiddish expression, that expression you're referring to, is something that's really taken out of the words of Chazal. You shall use something so well that you should need to purchase a replacement. The only one that I know that says that to you is a car salesman. When you go and lease a car, you lease a car for 3 years, you come back to me in 3 years for the next car, for the next model, right? That's the only one that used that expression today. But today we don't use that today. But that's really the correct thing to say. You're not supposed to say that when a person buys a new pair of shoes, because if a person buys a new pair of shoes and you give him a bracha that you should use your shoes so well that they're all worn out that you need to purchase a new pair of shoes, that's a curse. Why is it not a curse? But it's not nice, because that means we should go and we should need to slaughter another animal. We should need to go and do a maisa shechita on another animal. We should need to do a maisa shechita, and that's not right. It's not right to give a person, you should use it so much that we should be required to kill an animal. That we don't do. But the person himself who purchased the new shoes, for him to make a shechianu, why not? Just because it's leather and it involves tsar bali chayim, this is machlokes. Some indeed are very sensitive to this issue, and they say indeed that since it was tsar bali chayim, it's not the correct bracha to make. And other mefarshim say no, it's not necessarily the wrong thing to do. And where is it nogel lachal ma'aseh tefillin? When a person buys a pair of tefillin, that's a very big simcha. But tefillin are made from leather, and an animal had to die in order that we have the klaf to write the parashiyos, in order that we have the batim to make the tefillin. Is it proper to make a shechianu when the tefillin came about through the loss of life, the animal died? Okay, so that's one idea. You're saying something that's very, very interesting, which might be appropriate here. We'll go back to that in 1 second. But what about, there's another principle. When Klal Yisrael crossed through the Yam, and the Egyptians were drowning in the sea, Chazal said, the Malachi Hashoris wanted to sing Shira. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, how could you say Shira? Ma'ase yodai, tavu bayom, v'atem oimim Shira? Quiet. You're not allowed to say Shira. However, Klal Yisrael sang Shira. Klal Yisrael did sing Shira. Oz yashir ma'yishu v'nei Yisrael tashir azos l'ashem v'yemru le'mar. Ashir l'ashem ki goya go'a. So what do you learn from this? That Klal Yisrael were no gebedover. They were the ones who were the victims. They were the victims, they were spared, they have a duty to say Shira. But the Malachim, it's none of their business. The Malachim are neutral. They're not the victims, they're not the aggressors. So what are you singing Shira? The victim, indeed, should sing Shira. Because the victim suffered at the hand of an oppressor. Now that his oppressor has been obliterated, been destroyed, even though that he's Hashem's creature, who cares? He's Hashem's creature. You're my adversary. You're the source of my suffering. My suffering was not correct. It was illegal. I was a victim of a crime. So I can't go rejoice. I can't rejoice over the demise of my adversary, Of course I can rejoice over the demise of Ayin Rems. I have to sing Shira. But the Malachim, don't bring me right to the Malachim who are neutral, who are outsiders. So that would seem to indicate that it, now you have to go back and look at the place Makom Sha'asalines. You go to a place, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the place, there was Korach and his followers, they were swallowed away. It's true, Hashem's creatures were removed from this world. So what? As far as Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned, it was a very great miracle. Who knows what would have happened to Moshe? What would have been, Rabbi Yisai, if Korach would have won? And Klal Yisrael would have voted to elect Korach as their new leader. What would happen to Moshe Rabbeinu? Where would he go? Would they kill him? What would they do with him?
He would join Miriam if put La Machna.
No one knows what would happen. What would happen to Moshe? How would he survive in the desert? How would Moshe survive in the desert? Where would he go? Who would take him? Who would take in Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert? What would happen to him? It's not so simple. He would survive alive. It's one thing a person, like in this country, person is not liked. They don't like a guy. So what does he do? He picks up and he moves to a new neighborhood, go to a new country. You make Aliyah, you go to Eretz Yisrael, go to Argentina. You'll find a place to go to. Where is Moshe going to go? Where is he going to go? Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not likely he would even survive anything. He would mamash die. So now that his adversaries have been obliterated, Moshe Rabbeinu L'chor has the right, has the obligation to make a brach when he comes to this makom, brach sh'asli nesem makom hazeh. And don't go tell me, oh, it's ma'isa yodesh tov. Well, that's when you're neutral. But now when it affected you, are you telling me this Tsar Bali Chaim? Tsar Bali Chaim is a very controversial topic. And the question, do you make a shechiyonu on shoes? Not so simple. There are many poskim that say you should make a shechiyonu on shoes. Now today, don't ask me a kashram today, because today we don't make shechiyonus at all. Most people today do not make a shechiyonu when they buy a new suit. They don't. That's just the way. Oh, but it doesn't show them. We buy a beged chadash, we buy a sefer chadash. Unfortunately, we live in the world of disposables. Everything is disposable today. People are disposable. Rabbanim are disposable. Presidents are disposable. Heads of state are disposable. We live in a disposable world. So therefore, nothing really is considered to be chashuv enough that we should really make a bracha with the Shema Malchus. But if you're living in times, when things are not disposable, then yeah, you make a bracha. You make a bracha. You have a very great simcha that you purchase a new suit, you buy a new pair of shoes, you make a bracha, shechiyanu. Oh, but with Tsar Bali Chaim, that's a big shail. It's not so simple. There was pain. So this really is a very tough question. Would Moshe Rabbeinu, would he make a bracha on the location where the earth opened up and swallowed him up? The Pasha says yes, he would make a bracha. Now the question, what about us? The Gemara tells of a story of a certain person who was traveling in the desert, and he came to the location where there was smoke coming out of the ground. And he put his ear to the smoke, and he heard voices screaming out, Moshe emes v'toyrosoy emes. Moshe emes v'hein ba'doin. Moshe's emes, I forgot the exact words of the Gemara, and v'hein, they, referring to themselves, are liars. This fellow, this Amora, he asked an Arab who was walking there in the neighborhood, what's going on over here? And he says, you hear this sound every couple of days. And the Gemara relates that this was the hole, this was the Mokoim, that a nace was done for Moshe Rabbeinu, the place where the earth opened up and swallowed Korach, Dasan va'Avidan, and 250 men. This is the place. They found the exact location in the desert where this miracle happened. This was the exact place. And what did they say? And smoke was coming out. And it seems that every couple of days they collected wood and they burnt themselves in the wood, and they had to acknowledge that indeed Moshe is emes, Toirasi emes, and they Korach, the Choladosai, are liars. And by the way, that is the makar for the song that we sing on Simchas Torah, Moshe Emes V'Toyrosai Emes, Moshe Emes. Where does that come from? Korach. Korach! Could you imagine Simchas Torah? Everyone is jumping up and down. If you don't bring your child, if you have a child, you don't bring him to shul and throw him up during Moshe Emes, you'll be locked away for child abuse. you have not shown your son the love that every father is obligated to do so. You're not a good father if you don't go and break your back by throwing him up in the air during Moish Emes V'Toyros Emes. How is he going to go back to school and tell his friends that my tati, he did not throw me up in the air during Moish Emes V'Toyros Emes? You know who said those words? Koirach! What are you teaching your kids? To be like Koirach? Well, I guess we're teaching him not to be like Koirach. It comes from Keirach. Moshe Emes v'toyrosai Emes. This is where it comes from. Question, how come in the Gemara, the Amor that passed during that location did not make a bracha? Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, she'asa neis l'Moshe Rabbeinu b'makom hazeh. Why didn't the person make a bracha? How come the Amora did not make a bracha? If we're suggesting that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, had he gone on a stroll and passed this location, he would have made a bracha. Why didn't this Amora, who came across the location where Moshe, where they were swallowed, make a bracha? And the answer is found in Shulchan Aruch. And this is an incredible insight into the bracha of making and Shasalines in the Makam. It's an incredible insight which opens up a whole world appreciation of how we relate to our parents versus how we relate to our Rebbeim. The halacha is, if a child comes to the location where a miracle happened for his father or his grandfather, he makes the bracha. She'asa le'ovi or le'asa le'ovi zikeni neis b'makoyim hazeh. If he comes to the location where it happened to his grandmother or his mother, she'asa neis le'imi or le'imi zikeni b'makoyim hazeh. That is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Now get a load of this. But if you come to the location where a neis happened to your Rebbe, you don't make a bracha. It's a beferish halacha in Shulchan Aruch. I'll read you what it says here. Shocking. It says, neis, ga neis shel rabbi. Let's clear. Neis shel rabbi tzarech levarich. I'm sorry, I didn't make a mistake totally. Tzarech levarich, moshim levarich al neis shel shalaviv, mishum kavod rabbi. The Omer Baruch Shasa Nes L'Rebbe B'Makom Hazeh. V'Dafkoi Rabbi Mufok. V'Dafko who? Only you. Aval Bonov Eina Michuyav Michvoid Rabbi V'Ein Mivarchim Al Nisai. It just goes one generation. One generation. But what about a parent? Let me go back. Let me go contrast this to the halach of a parent. Loy rakhu ba'atzmai mivarech al neis, elagam kol yoytzei chalotzav. Mivarechim kishiroyim es hamokoyim ahu. Umahim mivarechim, the bracha she'osa neis le'ovi ba'mokoyim hazeh. Vimbo shnei bonav, it goes on, kol yoytzei chalotzav. Rak yoytzei yirechim mivarechim, okay? Ach ein adam reshai levarech al neis shal adam acher. Only your own children. Kol yoytzei chalotz of your children can make a bracha. Ve'afilu bal al ishtoi, aisha al bala, v'chein ein av reshai levarech al neshal benoi. Very interesting, all these halachas. So let's review the halachas. It's really not so...
Somebody would visit a concentration camp and that his parents survived in.
This is a shayla. This indeed is a shayla. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. You do make a bracha. I heard the shayla once being asked. A person goes back to Auschwitz, a child of a survivor. A child of a survivor, even a grandchild. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it says, "V'ferishol kol yoytzei chalotzav." Now, does yoytzei chalotzav include grandchildren? Let's read over here. Let me go back and see exactly what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says, "Loy rak hu biatzmai mevarech." Ela gam kol yoytzei chalotzav. Mevarchim kishiroi es hamokoyim ahu. Yes, yes, you have to change the gear. So she'osa neis. It says Shulchan Aruch. V'hanechadim, the grandsons, yeah. Even the grandchildren, it says. It's Shulchan Aruch. She'osa neis la'avoysai. She'osa neis Shulchan Aruch. It says it's the Mishnah Berurah brings us down. It's the Mishnah Berurah. Which simon is this? This is... Where is the simon? Simon Reish Yud Ches. Simon Reish Yud Ches. Mishnebura she'os, you're supposed to say she'os neis la'avosai, b'mokam hazeh, oy le'avi abo. You're supposed to say even grandparents. If you go to, yeah?
Even that survivor is not alive
anymore. Yes, 100%. 100%. Even if he's not alive anymore, you're supposed to make that bracha. However, Rebbe, so look what it is by Rebbe, only the student himself, one generation, the actual student, provided he's Rabbi Mufak, you learned from him, Roiv Chochmasai. If you learn from your Rebbe, Roiv Chochmasai, you can make a bracha, She'osa osa neis l'rabi, to my Rebbe, Bamokoim ha'azeh. But what about the children, your children? No. Your children can't make a bracha. They have no obligation to give kavod to your Rebbe. It's only your Rebbe. It stops by one generation. So therefore, Bizman hazeh, if we, that's the answer to the Gemara's Kasha. Well, the Kasha we start with, a person goes to the desert, and he finds the place where smoke is coming out of the ground. And you put your ear to the earth, and you hear, Moshe Emes. They're referring to Korach himself. They're referring to themselves, Korach, and his 250 men are badoim, are liars. You don't make a bracha because the nes did not happen to you. Then you are not a Talmud. You want to say you're a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu because you learned Torah? I don't know. It's not so posh. That's correct. It has to be personal. Then did you ever see Moshe Rabbeinu? Did Moshe Rabbeinu actually teach you Torah? Even though the Torah that we have today is the Torah Shel Moshe, are we considered to be Talmidim Mufakim? Moshe Rabbeinu is our Rabbi Mufak? Does Moshe Rabbeinu fit into the Shulchan Aruch's description as our Rabbi Mufak? I honestly don't know. I can hear both ways. You can say Mitzad Echad, it's Torah Moshe. Everything that we study is Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. So indeed, Roiv Chachmasai comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Mitzad Sheni, when we talk about a Rabbi Muvok, there's something personal. There's a personal element in having a Rebbe. A Rebbe is not just the Torah that he teaches you. It's his demeanor. It's his tone. It's his bearing. It's the way he looks, the way he conducts himself. That's very clear. A Rebbe is not just on a book. If you sit in the library and you study books and you don't have any real Rebbeim, it's a very big problem. Yes. And that's a problem that we have today in our society. What? That's a problem that we have in today's society. That we don't have in today's society Rebbeim. I mean, okay, we have Rebbeim, but it's very hard to find the person that we can look up to as a model of a true representative person who's part of the Mesoira that we can say, oh, this is our Rebbe, and we can gain from him the qualities of what you need from a human being that are impossible to be conveyed and transmitted through a book. There's learning that comes through a book, and then there's a living Sefer Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu today, is he a living Sefer Torah? I mean, everything we know, you can argue this both ways. You can argue this both ways. You can say that, look, everything that we learn today, everything is a product of Moshe Rabbeinu. So yeah, if you do come, let's make this assumption. Let's work with these principles. If you're going to say the halacha is that if Moshe Rabbeinu himself was going on vacation, and he happened to come into the desert, into the location where Korach and his 250 men were swallowed up, he himself would be obligated to make the bracha, she'asa l'neis b'makom hazeh. And don't give me this answer because Moshe Rabbeinu, people die, they suffer. Listen, we're not going to follow that shita, animal rights. Forget about the animal rights. We're not going to go talk about ma'ase yodai tava b'yam. Yeah, that's for the malachim. Moshe Rabbeinu was a victim. He suffered. He was abused. He was offended for real. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu can make the bracha she'asa l'neis b'makom hazeh. What about us here in the year 2020? Can we say that we fit into the description of what it says in Shulchan Aruch that a Talmud Muvok can make the bracha on the neis that happened to his Rebbe? I don't know the answer. Because mitzad echad we can say, yes, we are. If not Moshe, then who? Everything is Taras Moshe. Mitzad sheni, that's called a Talmud Muvuk. A Talmud Muvuk means you have a living human being, which we can relate to. You need a human being that's alive. If even the Lubavitcher Rebbe is not alive, how can Moshe be alive? How could you say about Moshe Rabbeinu? How could you say that he's alive and we can say that we're learning from Moshe Rabbeinu his whole essence, his whole bearing, his mussar? You can't do that. You can't say that. So then we can't make the bracha. And that would explain why in the Gemara there's no mention that this person, that's not a raya. But the Gemara mentioned they found the location. It doesn't say in the Gemara that he went, the Amora made a bracha, she'asa, li'neis, l'rabi, Moshe Rabbeinu. We call him Moshe Rabbeinu, our Rebbe, right? But is it called Rav Muvuk in the sense of a bracha? I don't know the answer. I can hear it both ways. I don't know the answer. Who knows? Good question. We have to first find the place where that happened to get into the discussion if we can make the bracha, she'asa, neis, l'moshe Rabbeinu, b'mokai mazeh. Now let's go to the real juicy question now. Real juicy question. Everyone here that I see on this screen, all these black boxes, everyone here is very shy. They don't want to show their panim. They're hiding behind the mask, even though our mayor is laughing now. Even though out there in the world, everyone has taken off the mask. But in the virtual classroom, everyone is still hiding behind the black box. They're hiding behind the mask. So the shaila here is, when you come out of quarantine, do you make a birchas hagoymel? Okay, now we're going me inyan le'inyan. Why? Because one of the four people, the four categories of people who make a birchas hagoymel is a chavush that has been released from prison. A chavush that's been released from prison. Do you make a birchas hagoymel the first time you come out of quarantine, you come to shul? Mark, what's so disturbing to you?
How is this prison?
Prison? What is prison? What is the definition of prison? Is it mean what? What is?
We have food. We have drink.
Yeah, but
in America, you have food. You have entertainment.
You know
that in America they give the people in prison, they have entertainment, they have food, they have treats. They have a lot of things. They have Beis Medrash.
The people, I never visited anyone, so I don't know.
I did. It's not a pretty sight. Yeah.
I heard from others who visit. They say it's
not horrible. It's with all the conveniences. I still have nightmares. I went there three times. I visit someone three times in Otisville. That's the country club of all prisons in the world, right? The country club. And believe me, I still have nightmares. I'm not joking. From what I saw there.
Not good.
It's not good. Horrible.
So, but here, how do you compare?
Disgusting. Home arrest. So let me read you what it says in the big books. Let me read you. Now, first of all, this is not so pashut, I'm telling you. Not so pashut, not to make. All I can tell you is, if a person comes to shul and makes a bracha, it is not a bracha levatola. That's, I'll tell you, the maskana. Should you do it? No. Halacha l'maisa, no one's going to shul after the first time they're released. The doctor says, Rabbi, I'll make up a name over here, Mr. Cohn. Mr. Cohn is here, and I don't mean, just giving a generic name. The time has come that according to our medical knowledge, it is okay to leave your home. Okay? Let's say the doctor, Fauci himself, calls you up, and he says you can go to shul. You can go to shul. With a mask, without a mask, he tells you can go to shul. You come to shul for the very first time. Should you say to the gabbai, I'm chuyiv to recite Birchas HaGoymel? So, Birchas HaGoymel, what are you talking about? Well, read what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says in the Gemara, there are four people who recite Birchas HaGoymel. Four people. What are the four people? Number one, a person, a chole shenisrape, someone who was sick and was healed. Yorde Hayam, someone who travels the seas. You travel over the seas. A person that was Chovush Bebeis Hoasurim. A person who was imprisoned. Person was locked up in prison and he comes out of prison. And who is the fourth person? The fourth.
Yerdemidbarius.
Going into the desert. Okay, going into the desert. Going traveling on dangerous roads, which we'll discuss in a moment. Traveling over the sea. A choylesh and isrape. And a chavush bebeis hoasurim. So the question is, what exactly does it mean to be chavush, to be imprisoned, to be tied down in a beis ho'asurim? Why is the person in the beis ho'asurim? What did he do? What happened? So Chazal discuss, typically in the Gemara, you would base for one of two reasons. Murder, you were suspected of taking the life of another human being, or money. You owe money to someone, white-collar crime. Well, not that white-collar crime, whatever. A person stole money. You stole money. This is not only today. People are locked in different prisons. There's a prison for a person who's a murderer, and there's a prison for people who are guilty of white-collar crime. So in time of Chazal, they also had such types of prisons. So when Chazal said, Chazon was chovesh rebeis soasurim, and he is released, he has to say, Birchas HaGoymel, okay, in time of Chazal, excuse me, what type of prison, why was he in prison? So guess what? Some of the Rishonim say the only time you recite Birchas HaGoymel is if you're in the prison because you were suspected of murder. Oh, murder? You're a suspect for murder? The chances are that you're not going to get out alive. If you are a suspect for murder and they already locked you up, there's a very, very small chance you're coming out alive. So if you come out of prison, it means you survived, you cheated death. And it makes a lot of sense because we group together in one lump sum all four categories. Someone who was sick doesn't mean he had the cold. Someone who's sick means he was deathly ill. When a person makes a bracha, brachas hagoyim, it means he was in the makam of sakana where he could have died. Okay, it doesn't mean the person, whatever, you know, he has a stuffy nose, laryngitis. It means he's going to die, and miraculously he survived, he cheated death. When it talks about traveling in the desert, it means many people who go to the desert don't come out alive. Many people who travel the high seas, they don't come out alive. So these people that we're discussing are people who cheated death. So now, when we come to category four, a person was chavush bebeis ha'asurim, it means he's locked up in his home. He's locked up in prison because he's a suspect for murder. Typically, in time of Chazal, if you're a suspect where there's smoke, there's fire, there are no rights, there's no constitution, there's no bill of rights, there's no movement of BLM to come make noise and protect you. You're in jail, you're a goner. You're not coming out alive. Come out alive, you make a birchas hagoyim. You have to bring a carbon toy the birchas hagoyim. But what about if you're locked up in prison because you cheat on your tax return? You cheated, you stole money. In the time of Chazal, it was very unlikely the person would die. Even then, before human rights came into play, before that, not likely they're going to kill you just because you're locked up in prison. You're locked up in prison, it's just they want ransom. They want forgiving some of you. They want to soften you, whatever it is. They're not going to kill you. So now when you get out of prison, you don't make a birchas hagoymel. That would be nagei halacha l'maaseh. A person, if he's incarcerated today for white-collar crime, and he comes out of prison, and he comes home, does he make a birchas hagoymel? Guess what? According to most Rishonim, no, he does not. Because being incarcerated in America for white-collar crime does not fit the criteria of Chazal, of Chavush, Bebeis, Soasurim. It has to be, what do you mean? If I flew on a plane, right? You may have to make birchas hagoymel because from when you got out of incarceration, you had to fly back home. So you may have to make a birchas hagoymel for the flight, for flying back home. Or maybe you drove in the midbar. Maybe they drove you and the guy was locked up, who knows where, in Arizona. So he had to go on a train from Arizona. He took the Acela from Arizona to come back to New York. So maybe for that he has to make a birchas hagoymel. But for coming out of prison, which was incarceration from Dinim Emunos, lav davka, do you have to make a birchas hagoymel? So now, but guess what, Rabbi? Not everyone agrees. Some hold every matzah of incarceration is a sakana. You have to make a birchas hagoyma. So what would you say about corona? You're locked up. You're locked up. You're chavash, it's house arrest. Why is being locked up at home any different than being incarcerated in a prison? You're locked up by law. This is the law. Dina de malchusa dina. Did you leave your home during the intense moments of quarantine? It was illegal. You're not allowed to leave your home. I mean, you have to know where exactly every state. Every state is different. You have to know all the halachas. I don't even know in New York what the halachas are. In Eretz Yisrael, though, it was pretty severe. In Eretz Yisrael, they're very tough halachas. Very, very tough laws. Mamish laws. In New York, could be, I don't know. I don't know the rules. But it could very well be that you're not allowed to. If you're not allowed to, din de malchusa dina, especially if you have been diagnosed as being positive, then you're a threat to society. Just like a serial murderer is a threat to society, a person who has corona is a threat to society because he's also a serial murderer. He can give it, right? I'm worried about myself. I'm worried. I don't know. Ad hayom as if I had corona. I don't know. I have mamish no idea. I had a cold in the very, very beginning. In the very beginning. My doctor promises me that I did not have it. He promises me I did not have corona. And that's why he tells me you better be careful because you are ripe to get it. You did not. He promises me. I had a cold. I had all these symptoms. He says you had a virus. There were 10 viruses going around. I know my patients. I gave you antibiotics. The antibiotics worked. It actually worked. It actually did something for you. It actually changed you right away. It affected you. So that means it worked. Because if you had corona, the antibiotics would not have worked. And he tells this to me, and he promised me I didn't have it. I don't know if I believe him. I don't know. I don't know. I used to believe him. I don't know if I should still believe him. I don't know. Who knows? So what makes me nervous? Maybe I had corona. If I had corona, I was walking the streets. I gave it to other people. Maybe people that I gave it to are dead. Right? Who knows? You can't say that, right? You don't know.
It's a sex faker.
Who knows? No one knows nothing. No one knows nothing.
So it's a sex faker. So we make.
What could you do? But the point over here is, by law you have to be locked up. You have to be locked up. You're a danger to society. Now also add to the equation that it's sakonis nefashos. What's going on? I mean, I don't have to. 120,000 people in America, that's a lot of people. Okay, sakana. There's no rhyme and no reason. It's a sakana. So now you come out, and you survived. You survived. Do you make a bracha? Were you in danger? If you would have come out, you could have gotten it. You could have died. So by being incarcerated, you have to see, this is very difficult. What's the lumdis? Let's analyze the lumdis of being chavush bebeis ho'asurim, in Chazal's eyes. Okay, so first we discuss as a hakir in the Rishonim, what is the criteria of being chavush bebeis ho'asurim? Why did they imprison you? Because life and death matters? Because you're a suspect of murder? Or maybe they want to kill you. They just want to kill a Jew. They want to make an example. You're religious. Shas Hashmad. Anyone that learns Torah is chayiv me. The government's going to kill the person. When they put you away, you've committed a crime for which the punishment is death, and they're just holding you to get through the legal, go through the legalities until they actually take the person out to kill him, and then lo and behold, the miracle happens. He gets out. That for sure fits the criteria of chavush mibeis ho'asurim. But then there's another category, which is a big dilemma. I'm only in prison because white collar crime. Stole money. I stole money, committed a horrible crime of a gezel. Garbin locks up the person, they throw away the key, and then somehow the time comes, he gets out of prison. Are you mechuyev to recite birchas hagoyimah? So some rishonim say yes. Why? Why? The pashtus is there has to be sakonis nefashos. And the simple lumdus is, even though you're in prison only for a crime that involves money, but it's not uncommon for people who are in prison for stealing money to be killed, to die in prison. Prison is a violent place, especially during the time of Chazal, when there are no human rights and there's no one watching. If you're subject to being in prison, even for mamoin, who says you'll come out alive? In America, it's also very dangerous, even more dangerous. Persons incarcerated for anything. We all hear stories of people, of these horrible stories, what could happen to a person in prison. He can die in prison. Who knows what now with corona? You know, there was the big dilemma. The government, what do you do with, what do you do with the prisoners who have corona? What do we do? Liability issues. We're responsible for them getting corona. They're going to sue us. Their family's going to sue us. It's a big dilemma. What you can die in prison. So you get out of prison, the dinim emonos. Is that the only lumdus? Or maybe the lumdus is, maybe the lumdus is, if you're in prison, what would happen if you would escape prison? If you were to escape, okay, I don't know, you have to think very deeply into the, what's the lump. Let's discuss now a person during this last period of time who was in quarantine. Let's assume it was by law. Law. The government said you have to be in quarantine because you're positive. You're positive. By law, you must be in quarantine, which basically is house arrest. What's the difference? It's house arrest. And if you come out of the house, we will arrest you. We will take you and we'll put you in a hotel. And we'll lock the door in the hotel. Is that any different than the opinion who says that you have to make a bracha, a birchas hagomel, when you are released from a beis ha'asurim for mamon, if you steal money? Is it really any different? If you're home, there are dangers. I mean, being in prison is, we're assuming being in prison is a matzav that can lead to death. If you're under home arrest, is there a possibility that it can lead to dying?
Rabbi, no, he's a chavush, but it's not in Beis Asurin. It's only half of it.
How do you define Beis Asurin? Why is it not called Beis Asurin? Why is it not called the Beis Asurin? Okay, let's discuss another shaila. I have another shaila. Let's say a person in the United States has committed a crime, and the judge says home arrest. You're not going to a prison for whatever, you have medical conditions. It's not so uncommon. We're putting on an ankle bracelet. Jonathan Pollard, right? They let him out of prison. And what do they do? Home arrest. You can't leave the house for a tkufa. If they put on the ankle bracelet, they monitor you wherever you go, GPS. And if you leave the house, they know in an instant, it's just a computer program right away, it says, they'll find you. And they'll put you away in solitary confinement for the rest of your life. So you're not going to
move. That could be different because he can't go for the medical issues, you know.
So your home is the prison. Your home is the prison. So why is it any different? Why is it any different to be in quarantine by law? The government says you're not allowed to leave the comfort of your home because of the situation. If you leave, there are penalties for leaving.
You could get telemed.
So in prison, you can get better than telemed. The doctor himself comes in prison to treat you. You get even better than telemed in the prison itself.
I don't begin to see the kasha.
You don't think it's the same as the garble? There is a principle. You have to understand something. Being confined, there is something psychological about being confined.
It's difficult.
That can prematurely end your life. Is that an extreme statement? A person who has freedom, it is natural.
You can walk the city streets, you can prematurely end your life. You can't live like that.
A human being was meant to be free.
Every time you go to shul, make a bracha.
Kiv shul.
No.
A person who has an option, the pasuk says, Hashem created man, he gave him a bracha, redu. Kivshu es haaretz. What's the pasuk? What's the pasuk? The pasuk.
Vichivshua.
Vichivshua. My father used to say the Kivshua mandate, man is built in to the DNA of man, the ability to conquer. When you confine a person, you confine him, you're destroying him. What's so bad about being in prison? People in prison, they get PhDs, you know that? They get food, PhDs, they read, they give a whole kollel. Tarek says...
question to a whole... to a whole different frame. The question we're trying to discuss is, should you make the special bracha?
Right, so this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to come and explain is that Chazal have taught us a very important insight. There are four people who make a bracha when they are released from a situation. Three of them are clearly discussing life and death, beyond a shadow of a doubt. The fourth one is something which is a little bit vague. A person who is chavush bebeis hoasurin. Most Rishonim say, listen, if three of the four are dealing with life and death, we have a right to assume when it says chavush bebeis hoasurin, we're dealing with life and death. And therefore, why is this fellow in prison? Because he's a suspect in murder, or he committed a crime that is chayiv misa. He's guilty of treason. He learned Torah b'shas hashmat. And therefore, they're going to kill him. And until they kill him, they're just locking him up. He's confined until they get around to actually executing him. And guess what happened? A miracle. He gets out of prison. Oh, that means you have now gone from a matzav of death to a matzav of life. It's a perfect match for someone who travels over the sea, someone who travels in the desert, someone who was deathly ill in an ICU, and he comes out alive. The Zelbazach. But yet, guess what? There are Rishonim that say, Lav Dafka. Is case number four equivalent to case 1, 2, and 3, a person that was chavush bebeis hoasurim, afilu al divrei mimoinois and mamoin, also should make the bracha shagoyma lechayavim tovim shagoblani kol toiv.
You're going too much a kvetch. If someone goes on a luxury cruise ship...
No, that's a different story. That you should know, that is a discussion. That's a discussion. You go on a cruise, you're touching upon another topic. One thing at a time. You're touching, there's a very good phyla. If you go to the Caribbean...
Back to the first step. When you get arrested and you put in even for a white-collar crime, the process you go through in general booking, you can, every time you take a shower or walk to the dining...
You're killed.
A guy can stick a toothbrush or a bar...
Exactly.
And kill you on the spot.
Exactly. So that's what they say.
Look at Epstein.
Exactly.
24-hour guard, and he got it. He died, mamish.
Exactly. So that is the lumdis. And if this is true today, al achas kama v'kama ben benoy time chazal. So that's what many Rishonim say. Lav dafka of a person is a suspect in prison because of dinei nefashos, even if they took him for dinei mimonos. Being incarcerated under the clutches of the goyim, you're a dead man, no matter what. No matter what. Even if you stole a feather, who knows what's going to happen to you. If you come out alive, that's a miracle. You make that bracha. So if you want to take that attitude, and now you want to go and translate that into today, what happened to all of us for the last 3 months, we've been incarcerated, and again, I don't know the laws. Let's assume that there are. I still can't figure it. Even they don't know what the laws are. Everyone is so confused.
In New York, it's different.
Different. But
they throw them in jail at night. The next morning, they're out of jail. So
those. But let's.
You don't know how many times the guy got away from being killed.
That's correct. You don't want to be. You don't want to be in a prison.
You
in
get
prison.
Another guy in jail, crumb, and you're finished.
Rikers Island, it's mamish, mamish, pikuach nefesh.
Then people should demonstrate it's pikuach nefesh to get you out of the...
It is, it really is. So now here's the question. When we want to go now, that the way of Mary described, it's mamish, a physical damage. Now, this is all, what I'm saying now, there's another element, psychological damage. There's also a psychological element that can have a major effect on a person's health. Being put away, locked up in a hotel, even being locked up in the fanciest hotel. There is something to it. A person who never got a speeding ticket, who never, all of a sudden he's driving on the highway, he's going 75 miles an hour, And all of a sudden, a cop pulls them over. Some people can get a heart attack. You know, they get mamish, get a heart attack if a cop pulls them over for doing nothing. For doing nothing. Even if they're going 65 miles an hour. Because just the pachad of being set aside by law enforcement for something, for a crime you did not do, that itself is a very traumatic experience for the people of faint of heart. And it could affect a person's health. And I have no doubt in my mind, there are probably thousands of documented stories of people who were incarcerated for nothing in a luxury hotel, and it affected their health to a degree that maybe even shortened their life. I know someone that was in the hijacking of Entebbe. Okay, not Entebbe, when Rav Hutner. When Rav Hutner was hijacked, I know of a person that was also hijacked, that was on that flight, that was part of the group. I don't know the person personally at all, but I do know a person who already passed away, who knew that person very, very well. It was a woman. And he said to me numerous times that this woman died because of what happened. She was hijacked. And she survived, you know, they survived with everyone. Everyone survived. They were rescued. When she came home, the trauma of the experience of what she went through took her health, and she, not much longer later, did she die.
Because, and all those people had to make it Birkas Gomel, I'm sure.
Well, that's different. That was their life was a mamish in danger. But I'm just talking about trauma. The trauma very often can have, depending, everyone is different. There's some very tough people out there. You know, nothing affects them. They're made out of iron, you know. Nothing affects them. The mechutzafim, they can fight. And there are some very delicate people that if you say boo to, they right away get frightened, they get scared. If a police officer just looks at them on the street, they go meshuggah. That's how it is. It's a metzius. And this woman who was, yeah.
When I fell, I would say I was an inch away from who knows what could happen.
You're discussing a different case. No. We're going to get, if we have time, we're going to get you. Are you going me? I want to discuss this particular child. Well, you're discussing a whole different case. You're discussing a case where nothing happened. I'm discussing a case where something happened. A person was incarcerated. There is when a person is taken into prison, you're no longer a free person. You no longer have the kivshua mandate. You know, it's a very powerful experience. Even if you did nothing, and even if you know for a fact you're going to be released, just the fact that you no longer have freedom is a very powerful experience. And the question is, when Chazal say that a person who is chavush bebeis ha'asurim has to recite the Birchas HaGomel when he comes out, and Chazal were vague, they did not lay down the parameters, exactly what exactly is going on over here. You have a very wide range of opinions to define what this means. And the nafka mina will be, if we, who come out of quarantine, have to make a bracha of Birchas HaGomel, because we were considered chavush bebeis ha'asurim. So if you want to go to the extreme, no, chavush bebeis ha'asurim means you're on death row. So we're not on death row.
Quarantine in the house to beis ha'asurim. I don't know how you make that leap. I can't imagine. And you can.
I told you, New York might not be the best example. New York might not be the best example. In Eretz Yisrael, they were really tough. They track your cell phone. Now they're ready to stop doing it because they got into trouble. They got too controversial. They would come and they have SWAT teams. You didn't see the news. They have SWAT teams. They come with people who would violate quarantine. They mamish come after them and they pick them up. And they showed videos. They show this. They come, they chap you on the street. They put you into a car and they take you to a hotel and they lock you up.
Where? That's in Israel.
In Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so in America, generally not. Not in every state, generally not. But I told you, I don't know the nitty-gritty details. But let's talk about extreme case. Let's say a person is positive and he's spreading it. Well, you're not going to say that the government's going to go and have guards to make sure this guy doesn't go.
Isolation. There were people here.
Isolation.
Quarantine, isolation. Isolation, you're stuck in your room.
Okay, so like,
they gotta bring you everything.
But there's no doubt about it that the streets were empty for 3 months. I violated quarantine. I don't say maybe I violated quarantine. The streets are empty. There's not a soul in the street. I come over here to this building. I come to the shul. Rabbi Shulman gave me permission. Only after I begged him, I had to beg him and beg him and beg him to give me permission. Finally, he was tired of me bothering me. He said, "Okay, you can come here." There's no one here. There's no one. And I walk on the street. There's no one. I got into the car. I went to the car maybe 3-4 times the whole 3 months. There's no traffic. It's like unreal. There's mamish no traffic. Nothing. Obviously, people are locked up for their own good. They're locked up. Question. When Chazal say, Chovush bebeis ho'asurim, what does that mean? So let's just go through different possibilities. It means you're on death row. Oh, death row. All right. Forget it. In America, no one's on death row in America. They don't kill people in America, no matter what you do. So forget it. There's no such thing today. You want to say it's not because you're on death row. It's because just being in prison, like a mayor can give you all the gory details, just being in prison, you're subject to murder, to being a victim of murder. Fine.
It's just like being locked up at home.
Fine. I get it. I'm trying to introduce to you a third element of what Chazal mean when they say you have to make a bracha. And I don't think it's so far-fetched. And it depends on the person. Just being in quarantine has a very profound effect on your mental... Mark, let me say my piece, then you'll say. I'm going to mute you. Let me say my piece first. Just being in quarantine has a detrimental effect on your mind. I saw it myself. I went to visit my friend in Otisville. I went there. I looked at all the other people there. From people. I looked at them. They were in Otisville, no one's killing you. Okay? No one's getting Eldera Chateva. They have everything they need, they're provided for. They have all everything's taken care of. I looked at them. They were shattered people. People that mamish were shattered. No, even Rabashkin. I met Rabashkin once. I went over to him. I gave him shalom. I told him that I was mispalel for him. I shook it and I was talking to him. And I said to myself, are you the guy that I see on television? I see on all the websites. When I look at him on the websites, he's always very macho. He's very tough. Emuna. Chizuk, and very, like a real Lubavitcher, the real. And when I was talking to him personally, I don't know, to me, I really felt so bad for him. I felt like I was talking to a shattered person. Like this whole experience that he's been through, it really, to me, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something, it broke him. And I know on the media, he projects this image of strength and koyach. Yeah, that's what I see in public. Privately talking to him, there's a tsar, there's a very deep pain that he's going through. And in Otisville, what I saw, you look at the people there, you can't describe in words. They have food. They have entertainment. Mordechai ben David comes to sing for them. Rabbanim, the biggest Rabbanim, come to darshan for them. And they have kosher food. They have a seder. They probably have better food than most people have by their seder, right? They have everything. They have everything. You look at these people. They're shattered. You don't think that affects their health?
It does.
So if that's the case, so maybe when Chazal say, if you're chavush bebeis ha'asurim, even if you're chavush for nonsense, the fact that someone took away from you your freedom, this takes away your lifeblood. there's the kivshu, my father would say, the kivshu mandate. Redu es, what is the pasuk? I remember the pasuk. Hashem says to Adam, v'chivshua, conquer the world. Conquer the world means get out of your house, go out into the street, and conquer the world. If someone confines you and gives you every benefit you can possibly want, but you don't have freedom, it takes away from your humanity, from your life, it affects you. Maybe that alone is enough of a reason why a person should have an obligation to make a bracha when he's released from confinement. And if you take that svara to an extreme, when we have been locked up for 3 months, you know, it's even with all of the pomp and learn the Zoom and this and that and all these things that we're talking about, you know, you don't feel confined. You don't feel like you've been shackled.
You do.
It affects you.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
We have you're describing a situation when a person is confined to a place against his own will under duress. But we have Ben Yochanan was in a cave against his own will. When he came out, did he make a bracha?
Rashbi, when Rashbi was in the cave, I would assume so. I think for sure, he was in hiding. He was a wanted man. He was a wanted.
But is it recorded someplace?
Is it recorded? Not that I know of.
When he came out, did we record that he was complaining about people working?
That I know of. I hear what you're saying. I don't recall anywhere that it says that when he came out of the cave, he made the bracha of Agoymel. But I'm assuming he did. Just because it doesn't say that he did doesn't mean that he didn't, right? It doesn't have to tell you every single detail exactly what happened when he came out of the cave. L'chara Pash, of course, you have to make the bracha when he, for sure, he was in real danger. He was a wanted man. He was in real danger. But when we are confined, is there really such a difference what we've been through in the last 3 months than the opinions that hold that being in a prison requires you to make a bracha? Is there really such a difference? We have been confined. There's no person that's not been affected and been humbled that, you know, you just can't go wherever you want. You're locked up. That affects your frame of mind.
I think something like this. Lack of freedom, it's not prison. We had Milchemet, the Gulf War. In Israel, everybody was supposed to be in Cheder Atum.
Correct.
In a closed room. They were not allowed to go to another room. But they are still not Chavush Bebeit HaAsurim. Because you are in danger to go out, but you are not in danger in the place that you are. Because that's your home. Right. You're not there. So what? I can sit in a home and go throughout the whole Shas, And I have the Zoom, and I have. So what's the problem? It's not like the other thing that you are in danger where you are.
That's our dilemma. That is our dilemma.
That's all.
I'm asking the same question on the Cheder Atum. I'm asking the same question during the Gulf War. The same question. That is the dilemma. What exactly is the lumdus of Chazal when they taught us that when a person is chavush bebeis ha'asurim, when he is released, he makes a bracha? Is it because, like you said, when you are in the beis ha'asurim, you can die at any moment? Certainly, it's a dangerous place. It's just like the desert is dangerous, the yam is dangerous, and being in a matzav of sickness is dangerous. Being in this mokoim of the beis ha'asurim is dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because a person, for many reasons, either person is chayav misa, or even if he's chayav mammon, they can kill him for mammon also, or just being amongst goyim in a goyish place under control of a goy is sakonis nefashos, he can die. If that is the lamdus, then you're right. Then when it comes to the cheder atum, when it comes to quarantine, there's nothing to talk about. We're safe. We're as safe as we can be in these locations. So adaraba, you don't make any bracha. But who says that's the correct lamdus? When Chazal said a person that's chavush bebeis, is it because of the danger that's inside, or is it because of the psychological effect?
Well,
is there an element of psychological damage being in the Beis HaAsurim? Is that possibly what Chazal, and just to dismiss it as no is not fair, because we know as a fact that the psychological damage can be even worse than the physical damage being in these locations. Being in these locations, so if you're a strong gibor, you know, you'll beat up someone who tries to kill you, someone attacks you in prison, or you'll be able to overcome the sentence. But there's no doubt about it that a person who is confined, is the average person, is severely affected. And that changes a person's outlook on life, and it can shorten their life dramatically. Like I told you, this person who went through the trauma of the hijacking, he said to me, I'm telling you, this woman, she came back so traumatized, she never recovered, and she died. She died not that long after. It's a mitzias. Being a chovush, besides the danger of being there, of the makom, even if the makom is not dangerous, just the fact that you're confined, this is dangerous for the mind. What's the longest? So obviously, we pass in l'halacha l'maisa. It goes without saying that you do not make a bracha when you come out of a cheder atum. You've not heard anyone make a bracha coming out of quarantine after being home for 3 months. Nobody, obviously. But one thing I want to tell you, though, if someone does make a bracha, if you ask a shayla, no way, you don't make a bracha. That's the halacha. But if someone dacha comes to shul and he makes the bracha, you could answer amen. You cannot say, dismiss, that it's a bracha levatol. That you can't do. It's not a bracha levatol.
You just asked a wonderful shayla.
Yeah.
If you see a guy you haven't seen in 3 months after COVID, you make him a chayim esim.
No, a year. A chayim esim, you need a whole year. You need a shachiyan. 3 months, so you make a shachiyan. Your shachianu, you can make a shachianu after 30 days. You don't have to wait 3 months to make a shachianu.
So you make your shachianu every.
We don't do that today. Today, no one makes it. Yeah, you really should. You really should. It's not a joke. You really should.
Right.
You really should. We don't do it today. We don't do it today for whatever reason, because we don't really. We're not so happy, right? We're not so happy to see people.
What about our brachos in the morning? Doesn't it cover some of this?
No.
Surim, et cetera,
Volte. You don't make. We mention it in passing. We don't. Well, we say the bracha Matir Asurim.
Passing, please.
The Matir Asurim that we make in the bracha was designated specifically for waking up in the morning. Chevlei Shena. When a person goes to sleep, it's considered to be as if you're being tied down with the bands of sleep. Chevlei Hamavir, Chevlei Shena Me'enoi Usnuma Me'afapoi. So Matir Asurim, it's the ropes of sleep. It was established not to refer to incarceration. So even though the words do seem to fit the picture, but we don't. That's not la halacha. That's not how it's established. It requires a special bracha goimel lachayavim toivim shegmolani kol toiv. A special bracha. So all I'm trying to bring out of here is there's no doubt about it. You have not heard anyone, any rabbi in the world say that a person who comes out of a cheder atum during a missile strike, or a person that is in quarantine, or even if the government locks you, or the government puts you in house arrest, whatever, we don't do it. Obviously, the ikur mahalich in the poskim is that a cheder is that quarantine is the a chavush is the place is dangerous. Your home is not dangerous. Your home is safe. It's as the safest place to be is to be in your home. That's the halacha, and that's why we do not make a bracha. But it's not so simple. It's not so simple. And the only nafkamina is, and we're just talking in halacha to appreciate what Chazal have in mind. If a person would indeed make a bracha, you can't say he made a bracha levatala. Like it's this classic story, you always tell someone, a guy who has OCD, he's in an esrog, a lulav store, Erev Sukkos. He's there for the last 36 hours, going through every single lulav with a microscope. For 36 hours nonstop, a marathon, every lulav looked through 50,000 lulavim. A woman walks in 5 minutes before Yom Tov and says to the owner of the store, can you do me a tayiv? I have a little child. Can you give me a lulav that's posel for my little baby? He wants a lulav, a toy. So he says, of course. So she says, I don't know any halacha. Where's a lulav that's posel? So the guy says, well, ask this guy. He's been here for 36 hours straight. He's looked through every lulav. If there's anyone here who can tell you which lulav is posel, he'll tell you. So she goes over to him and says, the store owner said that you should point out a lulav that's posel. So he looks and he says, I cannot tell you that there's even one lulav in the entire store that's posel. What are you doing here for 36 hours, Meshuggah? I'm a Meshuggah. I'm looking for perfection. But to say that something is posel here, I know the halachas inside out, and I can show you that every single lulav, there's a tzad, there's a reason, there's a lundis to show you that it's kosher. I can't tell you that it's posel. Not even one lulav. Unbelievable, right? That story speaks volumes. In life, we're always yearning. We want this, we want this, we want this. Okay, good. You're entitled. But to say about someone else, their posel? How dare you? It means you know from nothing. The lundis, the halacha when it comes to Birchas HaGoimel is pretty strict. We're pretty strict. When in doubt, you don't make a bracha. We don't make brachas. You don't make a bracha when you come out of quarantine. But think about it. Really? Really, why not? You don't consider yourself to be a chavush? I consider myself. The people that I know, you know, it had an effect. Believe me, it had a big effect. It had a big effect.
It had an effect, but I don't think it's
chavush. Yeah, what is it? How can you say it's not chavush? You have lost your ability, your freedom. Whenever you lose, what chavush means, someone has to tie you down with ropes to the chair and put a gag over your mouth. That's called chavush. Basically, they torture you. Chavush means you're contained. You lost a degree of your freedom. You're not allowed out of the house.
Chavush, but not your house.
You have to be broad in understanding what it means, chavush. It's not so simple. To say it's a bracha levatala, you can't say. To say that you should do it, don't do it. Don't make the bracha. I agree. The ikab shad is the mokoim has to be a mokoim of sakana. But there's something we have to appreciate. There's a lesson of musar. We survived. I mean, we don't know what the future is going to bring. But today, I mean, every single day, it's unraveling. Baruch Hashem. But I mean, I don't know more than you know. I listen to the same news that you listen to. But it's been 100, 112, 13 days since it started. And yesterday they opened up another phase. All the different madrigals, at least in the East Coast. The West Coast is going through hard times. The West Coast, not so pashut. But yet Trump is right to a certain degree. The West Coast is not really any different, just that the testing is so rampant. So because you can test every living, you can test every cockroach you can test now. Okay? In the zoo, they test all the animals. They also have corona. Okay? In the Bronx Zoo, they test all the animals. All the tigers are tested positive for corona. Okay? It's who gave the tiger corona in the Bronx? Who gave it corona? I mean, that's pretty telling. If the tiger in the Bronx Zoo has corona, I think that speaks volumes, that there's a lot about this thing that we do not know. We do not know about what exactly the nature of this disease, this killer disease is all about. But Baruch Hashem, things are unraveling. Restrictions are lifting. Almost every shul that I know, every shul is open now. I don't think there's even one shul that's not open yet. With, of course, rules and regulations. Even my cousin's shul is open, right? My cousin, he was probably the last one to open up Spanish Portuguese synagogue. I think they're open now. No? They're still not open? I'm pretty sure they opened now. No? They're still not open? I can't believe they're not open. They were the last holdouts.
On the email, you can't tell exactly. It looks like everything's still virtual.
Well, we're also still virtual, excuse me, okay? Right. And the shul is open here. Every day that I come here to the shul, every single day, there's more and more activity. I come here at 9:25 to set up. Every single day I walk in here, There are more and more people. There's more life here in the shul. Walking the halls, people talking, the shul is filled.
With masks?
Some masks, some no masks. Every single day, there's more life here in the shul. And I say, Baruch Hashem.
You said it the second time, that there's more life now in the shul, which means if you want to learn a drash, when you were home, locked up, there was less life.
Well, in the shul, there was less life. At home, I don't know what's going on at home.
Forget the shul was empty. We're talking about you. When you were at home, locked up, there was less life.
That's right. It's depressing. It's
therefore, when you get out of it, you
there's
have
more
a
life.
Hagomel
lechayavim toivim shengmani.
A bracha on your life.
That's right. It's not a joke. There's a soul.
Hagomel lechayavim toivim. You're talking about my
life.
Is better.
That's right. There's nothing to it. It's not for nothing that Facebook is the most popular website. Social media. There's something about social interaction. It's life. When you're incarcerated, it's not just the freedom that's been taken away from you, it's the lack of social interaction, which enhances, which is itself life. Oy chavrusa, oy misusa. Rabbi Yochanan said that. Rabbi Yochanan said, when Rish Lakish died, who's the one who died? I forgot the one who, when Rish Lakish died, oy chavrusa, oy misusa. If I don't have companionship, it's death. Companionship is equal to life. When you're incarcerated, besides the psychological damage of lack of freedom, where is the social interaction? Social interaction is life itself. So it's not so pashut that we don't make a bracha when we leave, when Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, we're survivors. We're all survivors. We're able to come out of this. It's not so, it's a mamash, a chesed elyon.
The person who was in quarantine and is affected, him making a bracha or not is not going to make him feel better. He's affected. The mind's affected. The lady who came out of...
Well, that's the way... Well, the person who's in the desert... Well, that's a side question. The person who's in the desert is affected. The chayil is affected. Everyone's affected. The point is that now what was affecting you has stopped and you can heal yourself from what you've been affected from. Every situation is like that. The guy who's on death row in the prison in China... And so when he comes out of prison,
suggesting it's mentally it's going to hurt people. So
when you come out of this matzav, you make a bracha. It doesn't make a difference. When you person the other things that you certainly make a bracha, the real cases. So now that you've come out, you make the bracha. Because until now you were affected with intensity. We hope that you'll heal from the situation. But when you come out of the situation, the environment that has affected you, you make a bracha. So how come we're not making brachas? Because like Rav Kalman said, the Iker Mahalich in the Rishonim is the Mokoim, is a Mokoim Shel Sakana. But you have to step back and appreciate, at least to thank Hashem without a bracha, in Yeshmona Esrei, in Yemoidim. Right. With more Kavana. With more Kavana. Because there is an element.
Another bracha.
It's right there. It's what to think about.
It's right there.
It's
beautiful.
Yeah, 100%. But there's an element. There's an element here of chavush bebeisu asurim, and it triggers within us the duty, at least hashkafically, to thank Hashem. As Rav Kalman said, it obligates us to make to say moedim in the Shemoneh Esrei with much more kavana.
Exactly.
Okay, Rabbi said we're going to stop here. I think this was a good topic. I hope you enjoyed it. There's a lot more on this topic, but at least it was very relevant to our matzav. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Aloha lemaisa, everyone should take a cruise right after they get out of the house. And then you come back, you make one bracha, and you eat the boat.
All right. Be well. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Side.
Be well, Rabbi Levine. Don't you call him.
Rabbi Levine. If someone is a looter and gets arrested, then is let go, and they make a bracha, if he's just going to do the same thing again, get arrested the next night when he gets out, does he make a bracha? Does he make a gomel every single time?
If he's not, he's not choize b'shuva. He's a Russia. He's a Russia. He's a Russia.
He's a Russia.
Meshugna is a meshugna. You can't ask Shas about meshugayim. Meshugayim.
Thank you.
Mr. Glad, have a wonderful day. Good to hear your voice. Yes, yes.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Good to hear your voice. Regards to your wife. Yes, yes,
thank
I hear you. Yes,
much.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
I'll make it my business to stay out of prison.
Okay.
Good day.
Okay, be well, Bill. Mr. Barth, where are you? Where are you, Mr. Barth? Heshi, where are you?
Here I am.
No, from the other Heshi. Heshi Barth. Heshi Barth, where are you? Mr. Glatter, yes, yes. How are you? You just spoke. How is your wife? I just heard your wife chime in.
Thank God she's going to stay out of prison also. There's no family plan for the place to stay out, the most frightening place to be in. I know from experience, not that I was there, is the fear of going to Rikers Island as a white collar crime.
Woo! Bikuach nefesh
mamish.
It is. That's what they say.
Okay. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. You too. Be well. Well. You too.
Hi. Thanks for asking about me. Thanks for a nice share. We enjoyed it.
My pleasure. How are you, Ms. Glatter? How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. We're getting out of quarantine, right? Yeah.
Okay. You better be careful. You have to be careful. All right.
Thank God. Yes, we are very careful. Okay. Thank you for everything.
Okay, be well. Good to hear your voice.
Thanks. Be well. Have a nice day. Thanks.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye.
Take it. Have a good day. Be well. Rabbi Dr. Cohn, are you there? Harav Dr. Cohn, I see your initials on the screen. Are you present? Rabbi Maievsky, are you there?